what we've seen is so far seems to be a lot of primary cases and what are called second-generation cases, where you've got someone who gets initially infected and they then spread it to another person. To me, the best definer of how broad this outbreak is likely to be will be if we begin to see third-generation cases. That is, that contact, that family member or friend who got infected from someone in Mexico, if they then begin transmitting it to other people who had no contact with that original case, that's when you really begin to worry about the epidemic being in a situation where it can take off almost in a logarithmic fashion.
Well, with regard to the public aspect of this, this has gotten a lot of attention over the last several days. Have you seen, I guess, runs on antiviral medication or perhaps more people contacting health departments?
Well, again, remember this story sort of broke over a weekend. That's probably helped mitigate some of the anxiety. However, I mean, we are seeing, we've had reports of people going to be tested because they are afraid they have swine flu. So I think it is getting the attention. We've not had stories of runs on getting Tamiflu because, again, that is a prescription medication and you've got to have somebody to write the prescription for it. But nonetheless, I do think this has seized the attention. In many ways, that's probably a good thing. We talked a lot several years ago about avian influenza, and then it didn't happen, and I think people sort of assumed, well, this is never going to happen. Well, if nothing else, what swine flu has done is it has reminded us, if not now, eventually we will have a pandemic.
With regard to avian influenza, the bird flu we heard so much about a few years ago, state governments, federal governments, they develop plans to deal with a potential a flu outbreak. How have those events affected how public officials have responded to the events around swine flu?
Well, I think they've been extraordinarily helpful because those plans, while we developed them because of a concern about avian influenza, the truth is they were just pandemic influenza plans, and the agent didn't matter. If we had been having this discussion 3 years ago or 4 years ago, we would have no antivirals in stock. On the other hand, in the state of Alabama right now, we've got a 500,000 courses of antivirals in stockpile. We've got several additional thousands of courses coming in from the federal stockpile so that we've got antivirals we would never have had 5 years ago. We've got large amounts of personal protective equipment from N95 masks to regular surgical masks for whatever utility they provide. We've got continuity of operations plans both in state government and in private industry that didn't exist before. All of those are going to be essential if this outbreak becomes as bad as it potentially could.
Well, you've said you expect swine flu to eventually appear in Alabama. How concerned should the public here be?
You know, there are two reasons to mitigate the concern. Number one, so far, all of the cases that have occurred have been mild. It is not certainly right now in the United States a horrifically lethal disease. Secondly, the agent is sensitive to oseltamivir or Tamiflu. So it's a combination of it hasn't been bad and there's plenty of drugs. That should be, I think, comforting. But I do think it's important, though, even with regular seasonal influenza, every year in Alabama have about 500 people who die from seasonal influenza. So even if this is a mild pandemic, if the numbers continue to grow, to see deaths in this country simply because we always see deaths even in mild influenza seasons.